that I've entitled Forgiven. As we came through Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, for our healing, for our forgiveness, for salvation. He was put in a tomb for 3 days, and he rose on the third day, and he's been alive and well ever since. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, loving us so much, and in that what he did, he forgave us of our sins. Now, we weren't even born then, and he forgave us. That's an awesome love. And so I've been talking these last two Sundays about how we're to forgive others, how we're to use the forgiveness that Jesus has bestowed on us, as you read in Mark 11:25, and we're to forgive also. But I want to bring the final part of this. I believe that today will bless you and encourage you today. Mark 11:25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," say anyone, "anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge today. God, that I will only speak words that you put in my spirit to speak, God. And the purpose is to draw attention to you, bring us closer to you, Father, and to learn from you and to mature us in your faith. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you have anything against anyone. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive. Forgiveness is tough anyway. Then we're called to forgive our enemies, forgive those who have done wrong against us and even spitefully used us. We talked about that the last 2 weeks. But sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. Because you know you pretty good. You don't know you as good as God knows you, but you know you pretty good, don't you? And sometimes it's the hardest when you bring everything together and you forgive everybody, you forgive the wrong, and man, that's tough and that's hard, and you try to receive God's forgiveness and love for you, and you've got to forgive yourself. And many times we try to push through that, and it's a tough thing to do. Well, interesting that Jesus says in his word that we're to forgive if we have anything against anyone. That includes yourself. You've got to forgive you. It says, because if you don't forgive you, God's not going to forgive you. Now, we understand that about everybody else. Okay, I've got to forgive those who've done wrong against me, whether it was accidental or on purpose. But I've got to forgive me. Forgiveness. The devil can cause us to be hindered because we're not forgiving ourselves. It's just as important as that we receive God's forgiveness for our life, to apply it, to know that he has forgiven us, that we can receive God's forgiveness to forgive ourselves. Jesus paid the price for our forgiveness. He's paid the price. He's not paying the price. It's already been paid. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Jesus not only forgives, he forgets. Now, I understand that's a little hard for us. Some things I forget. Do you remember what happened 20 years ago? Some things I don't remember. But it's pretty easy for me to remember the mistakes and the things I've done that I wish I could have gone back and redone and or not done or did that I didn't do. But Jesus forgives and he forgets. And even though it's difficult for us to do that, we can still receive God's forgiveness, forgive ourselves, and go on from those things without being hindered the way that the devil wants us to be hindered. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Who are we to confess our sins to? Do I need to next Sunday have everybody that sinned during the week and come up and tell us what your name, your address, your social security number, and tell us what did you do bad last week? What was your sin? Let's do it. Number one, that will be a long day, because I'm sure a few of you would have multiple things to go over. We're to confess our sins to Jesus. He's the one that forgives us. He's the one that we need to confess to. There's been some confusion. I've heard people say, well, if you sin, you should tell everybody about your sin and what's to be done about it. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's biblical. I believe that we're to go to Jesus and to confess our sins, and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. You know what's going to happen if I stand up here and tell you and all the world my sin? Well, you're going to start talking, and then you're going to tell, you will not believe what he said he did. You're not, you know. And so I don't think that's bringing any glory to God as much as it's bringing glory to the devil to spread the things that has been done in your and my life. We're to confess to Jesus. Why? Because he loves us the most. Now, I do think there are places for Bible studies and for one-on-one to where we can encourage each other. There are weaknesses that we face from time to time. There are places of encouragement that we need, and there's a place for that. But it's in the safety of you confiding what the Lord has put on your heart to confide in somebody, knowing that it's not going to be all over the street. Otherwise, you may as well stand up here and tell everybody your sins. Right? But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to confess. We are called to encourage each other. We're called to pray for one another, to love one another, just as Christ loved the church. And so there's a laying down of our life to help others, just like Christ laid down his life to help us. I don't believe that Jesus is going to come in this afternoon and tell everybody what you did last Friday. Jesus does not want to do that. Why? Because he loves you, and he's here to serve you and to encourage you, to build you up, and not to condemn you. Everything that Jesus does, you've heard me say this many times, everything that Jesus does, he does in love to encourage us to draw closer to him. So when we see things that are contrary to that, we should look in the Word of God and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. I've gone off topic, but this is all in forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves, knowing that we will sin, but we have an advocate with the Father. When we go astray, when we intentionally sin, or whether we accidentally sin, we know that we have an advocate, we have a way to the Father, we have an avenue to the Father, that he's paid the price for us, that we are to ask to repent of our sins. What repenting means is a turning away. Not that I repent, I'm sorry, and then 10 minutes later I go do it again. I'm sorry. Do it again. So I'm not really sorry. I'm not really repenting of my sin as much as I just want to try to ease my conscience. And so when I repent of my sins, it's my effort, it's my goal, it's my desire to turn away from that thing. And the Bible says that he will forgive us our sins. We are forgiven, turning away. And that's the way it is with growing up, right? If when our children were younger, if they went back and did everything that we told them not to do, we would think, well, either they're deaf or they're not really wanting to do what I told them to do. So after a while, there's a maturing process that they know that stove is hot and they don't put their hand on it when it's turned on. Otherwise, they get burned again. And so they know it's hot, there's repercussions to that, I don't do that again. And so they grow up learning from the mistakes that they've made, the bad choices they've made. That's what God is trying to do in us. And he's not wanting us to be held back by our old sins, by our old ways. Because he knows good and well that he's dealing with a rotten bunch. And that sometimes we go astray. He's saying, okay, you've sinned. I'm here. I'll lay down my life for you. Turn away and let's go on. Let's mature in him. So that's what his ultimate goal is. What? Then to for eternity that we live with him and that we're growth in process. We're in progress drawing closer to him. Now he's not going to expect you to go 90 days without doing some of the things that you do right now before he loves you anymore. He's going to see your heart, that you're trying to draw closer to him, that you're turning from that thing, that you're receiving his forgiveness, that you're applying that forgiveness to your life, receiving his mercy, loving him the way that he loves you, so that he can draw you closer to him. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body. He paid for every single one of our sins on the tree, that we, having died to sins, That's where we put those things behind us, might live righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. We were healed from the repercussion even of the sin that we have committed. He's healed us from those things. We've all fallen short, right? Is there anybody here that has never sinned? Wow, put my hand down. We've all fallen short. We've all fallen short. And so our past is meant to be as a reference or a landmark, if you will, not to forget, not to necessarily wish that thing had never happened, to cover it up and to paint it and make it camouflage it, as much as it is to be a reference of God's goodness and His promises. See, we'll talk a little more about this in a moment, but God can use those things in our past to bring glory to Himself, to help others. Well, if God can do that for Mike, God can do that for me. Because I knew him as a snotty-nosed kid, and he was rotten. If God can do that for him, God can do that for me. And so our past can be an example or testimony of God's greatness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone, that's you and me, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. That means they're gone. Behold, all things have become new. So there's a newness that comes into our life when we receive Christ. If we're in Christ, He makes the old things pass away, the old Mike pass away, it's gone, and everything to become new. So it's our identity. Our identity is not found in our past sin. Sometimes people will identify you by what you used to be. Has that ever happened to anybody? But our identity is not found, based on what we've just read, our identity is not found in our old things. Our identity is found in Christ, who makes all things new. Now, we can't expect every human to participate into that and to understand that. So we've got to know that there are times that when people come to you and identify you by your old way or identify you by your mistakes or your sins, we can't see that as a discouragement as much as an opportunity that they can see the new man living in you. You're not identified by your past sin. You're identified by Christ who lives in you, and He makes the old things pass away and all things become new. So God will, He'll make the old things pass away in spite of our past. He'll make newness and give us a future and give us a destiny in spite of our old things and our old ways. Acts 16:31 says, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved, you and your household. God is amazing that He uses people in the Bible that He used. You think, well, couldn't He have found somebody a little better, could talk better and act a little better and not be so? Well, thank God He didn't, because you know what? We can identify with these people because they were far from perfect. They're a lot like us. And had they had the technology that we had today, they'd have done the same things that we do. They had their own way of doing things, and it was sometimes far away from God even while Jesus was walking earth. So we know that in the Bible that Jesus uses imperfect people to do His work. He loves imperfect people. He loves to take people that know they're nothing without Him, to rely on Him and to cause them to do great works for Him. It's all throughout the Word of God. Nobody in this world was perfect that God used. Paul was a great example of that. Paul killed Christians. He didn't kill bad people. He killed good people. He killed people that loved God. Paul purposely, intentionally killed people. Now, we know David was rotten and the things that he did, but Paul makes David look like a saint. I mean, Paul did some great, wicked things. And so there was a time that Paul had to come to himself in God and had to know that he was wrong in his sin and had to ask for God's forgiveness, receive His forgiveness, but also forgive himself so that he could do the things that God called him to do. In 1 Timothy 1:13-15, Paul said this, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man or a rude, arrogant man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with love and with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, I'm the worst sinner to ever live, and Jesus forgave me. He put his newness in my heart, made me worthy of all acceptance. Isn't that awesome? Paul. Now, I don't know that any of you have done the things that Paul did. And Jesus accepted him. God accepted him through the life of Jesus. And he's here to accept you today. And I want to impart encouragement to you today in that you need to forgive yourself of some things that you're allowing to hold you back. I wish I had done that. I wish I hadn't done this. And we say those things sometimes in passing, but we also say those things in a way that it's really an anchor in our heart holding us back from what God wants us to do. And so I believe that Paul did these things that I'm going to tell you today, give you out of the Word of God. Paul did these, and I believe that we need to do these too to receive forgiveness. And the first one is receive God's gift. God has given us a gift of his life, and in his life, he's given us mind, soul, body, and spirit. He's given us a newness. And the same prayer that we prayed a while ago for the healing of these physical bodies, we need to pray for our emotional man as well, our spiritual man as well, that we're not hindered, that we're healed. And so there are some of you listening today and saying, oh, I just can't get past this thing. I just can't get past that. I'm really struggling to get past that. One reason that we can't get past those things is because we haven't learned to forgive ourselves. Forgive us like Christ has forgiven us. He paid the price for forgiveness. It's kind of like what Crystal said a long time ago. She said, you know what? If I can forgive you, why can't everybody else forgive you? And so it's almost like Jesus is taking those same words and he's saying, if I've forgiven you, why can't you forgive you? Who is higher than Jesus Christ? Who is higher than God? If he has chose to forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? What else really matters? We've got to come to a place that we know that God is so, we can't understand it. We can't fathom it. I mean, it's automatic. It's in our human detail to hold alt and to keep score. And so if we live life that way, though, the way that we portray others is the way that we'll portray ourselves. The way that we portray ourselves is the way that we'll portray others. That's one thing about if I'm having a difficult time forgiving myself, I'm probably going to have a difficult time forgiving you because I haven't even learned to forgive myself. God has forgiven me, but I haven't accepted that to the extent that I'm forgiving myself. We've got to receive God's gift. You say, well, isn't that real complicated? Isn't that real involved? No, it's just believing what he says in his word. That's receiving God's gift. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to define it. We don't have to spell out the ingredients of it. It's the word of God. It's God's gift. I know many years ago my grandmother would make special desserts and all that. Crystal was young, and we'd go to North Carolina to see my grandmother, and Crystal would say, Mama, how do you make that? What did you do? She'd say, I don't know. She had no clue what she put in that thing. She just got in the kitchen and did it. And so Crystal would try to stand in there and take notes from time to time. And she had the old sifter, the flour sifter, you know, and patted out the biscuits by hand and all that stuff. And potato pie, and pecan pie, and chocolate cake, and roast, and biscuits, and yeah, all that stuff, you know. And so God says, you don't have to understand what's in it, just receive it. It's everything you need for mind, body, and spirit. It's everything you need. He is everything that we need. Received the gift. Until we receive God's gift of forgiveness, we'll be slow to forgive ourselves. We haven't received His, so how can we apply it to our life? And trying to earn forgiveness is like putting a value on God's life, the life of Jesus. I've got to earn it, so there must be a value to it. Well, the life of Jesus is invaluable. In other words, it's beyond the ability to appraise. As our realtor friends would say, there's no comps. There aren't any comps to appraise this property because there's nothing else like it. Well, the life of Jesus, there's no other life like Jesus Christ. And so we can't put a value on it. We can't say, well, I'm going to earn it. Well, how can you earn something that's invaluable? It's beyond being valued. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to value it to. There's nothing else that you can compare it to. And so Jesus has given His life, this most invaluable resource that we could ever imagine, give His life to forgive you and I. And so we can't earn that. There's nothing. And He doesn't expect us. He doesn't say, okay, you can be forgiven once you do these things. 1, 2, 3, then you're forgiven. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess Him with our mouth. So we cannot earn. Trying to earn God's forgiveness is postponing His gift in our life. Trying to earn God's forgiveness is postponing your blessing, God's blessing that God has put your name on. We postpone that blessing because we're not there to receive it because we've not yet received God's gift. Because we're busy trying to earn it, which we'll never do for the rest of our life, lives to come. We can never earn the gift of God. He's simply given it to us. That's how much He loves you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith. That's our believing part. So the work's been done. We've got to believe. We've got faith that we receive it. We've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift, say gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, say works, lest anyone should boast. We're to receive God's gift. Part of God's gift is forgiveness. As we receive God's forgiveness, we can apply it to ourselves. And you know what? When you've received God's forgiveness and when you have applied God's forgiveness to your life, it's easy to forgive others. It doesn't matter the extent of the hurt. It's easy to forgive. Well, you intentionally did that. You knew what you were doing. I forgive you. That's the way God's grace is toward us. And secondly, we need to speak God's truth. Speak God's truth. Why is that important? Because what we say, the Bible says that it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth speaks. So it's important what we say because it really comes out of our heart. Now, I kid around sometimes, but sometimes we say, oh, I was just kidding. No, you weren't kidding. It was in there somewhere. I'm guilty of that too, just kidding, picking. But what we speak is really tied to our heart in some way. I'm not condemning anybody in that, and I've done the same thing. So we need to speak God's truth. What is God's truth? God's truth is connected to growth. It's connected to maturity. As I said a while ago, it's connected to love in that we can grow out of that and mature out of that thing wherever we are. And you know what? There will always be room for us to grow. We will never, you've heard me say it before, I will never get to a place to where I'll say, well, I'm all grown up. I'm a big boy now, and I can't make any more mistakes. I'm done. I've accomplished everything in life. We'll never get to that point, will we? Miss Betty Ann Sink, she was late in her 90s, and she was still growing. I'd go to the nursing home to see her, Magnolia, and see Miss Betty. She was reading her Bible, praying. Why? Because she knew that there was still some growing in her, even in her late 90s. There's still more that we will never know everything that God knows on this side of eternity. Never. No matter how many hours we read and study and pray. But we can speak God's truth so that the truth found in God's word gets ingrained in us so that we begin to believe it. It takes a little while for us to say things to get in our heart to where we believe it. A lot of times we have to say it many times before it actually gets into our heart. Our heart has a little bit of a delay to it. So we say something, and then our heart catches up to it, and it gets ingrained in us. John 8:44 says, this is speaking of the lies of the devil. The devil wants to speak lies to our life, and this is what it says. You're the father of the devil. That's a small F, right? You're the father of the devil, father of the devil, and the desires of your father, small F, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. There you go. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. So when we don't speak the truth of God's word, we speak the lies of the devil. When we're always referring to our old man or our lackness or our slackness or our sin or our... If we're always referring to that, that's where our heart is, that's where our mind is, that's where our thoughts are, and those are the things that we're speaking where the Word of God says those aren't of the capital F Father, those are not from God, those are from the devil. It's lies of the devil, and the father of lies certainly wants us to dwell there because there's no life in that. There's death in that. It's a downhill drag. There's no encouragement to that. The devil tells us lies, and he tempts us to dwell in those lies. We know that the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Any and all, right there. But God's truth is this in 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him, notice capital H, H-I-M, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's everything right there. That's the whole shooting match. All 9 yards, they used to say. In Christ, we're made right with God. Well, when will I be perfect? If I'm in Christ and Christ, God loves me and he thinks all this about me, when am I going to measure up? You are measuring up as you are in Christ. That's the requirement, is to be in Christ. All these other things will work itself out. All these other things is a maturing process. And if God is patient with you, why can't you be patient with you while he works this progress in our life? We're all a work in progress. And sometimes we need to be a little patient with ourselves. God is patient with us. We could talk about the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And part of that is patience, long-suffering. See, those are fruits that comes from God. And he pours into us so that we can pour into ourselves and pour out of ourselves. And so that's part of the fruit. That's part of what he wants to do in our life, is to give us patience for ourselves as well. Patience with others, yes. But we've got to have patience with us too. We've got to know that we are growing in him as long as we're dwelling in Christ. And when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, he's right there not to condemn us, but to love us and forgive us. To brush us off and say, let's go. And so we know that the lies of the devil can hinder us, and unforgiveness in our heart toward ourselves can hinder us. If we get rid of those things, speak the truth of God's word, receive God's gift, then we know that we can grow in him. Speaking God's truth is a testimony of how great God is. I was here, and now I'm here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. So that's a testimony of where we were and where we are. Thank God. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3 says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Come on, somebody. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Fear there is an honor. It's a respect. Many will see it and honor God. They will recognize where it came from. The devil can't do this stuff, but God can. He's the God of the impossible. He can make our feet to where we were slippery and slidy and all in stuff that we shouldn't be, and put us on a solid rock to where we're strong and we're forthright with Him, and we look to Christ for our strength and our faith and our joy. That's what He wants to do in our life. The devil will not do any of those things. He wants to remind you of your past. Third, to receive forgiveness is to give it all to God. Give every bit of it to God. Did you know God doesn't waste anything? God wastes nothing. Reminds me of Miss Edith. Miss Edith will take anything and she'll build a brick house in the backyard with stuff that was left over from something else. That's the way God is in our life. He takes all the bits and the pieces and the trash and the rubble, and He says, you know what? I'm going to make something beautiful out of this. And He does. All because of the hand of God. But we've got to release it to Him. We can't hoard it. We can't say, well, I don't want anybody to see this. Let's camouflage it. Let's hide this thing. But if we receive God's gift, part of God's gift is to make something beautiful out of trash, out of rubble, out of mistakes, out of sin. God will do it. God will do it. We've got to do that. As we speak the truth of God's word, then we can believe that He can do it. It's not in our heart to see it, because how can you do that? That seems impossible. Well, that's who we're talking about, is God of the impossible, that He can make anything work together for good. Release it all to God. If God can make the moon and stars, the sun and moon, Jupiter and Mars, song used to go like that, didn't it? Okay. Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes we get on a little rabbit trail. He can do anything. If He can put all that together out of nothing, at least you're something. At least I'm something He can work with. A ball of dirt, hey, it's okay. God can still, He can still make something out of it. He's still working. God turns sorrow into joy. How? I don't know. God turns mourning into dancing. God turns brokenness into wholeness. God turns a battle into a victory. God turns sadness into gladness. God turns confusion into peace. God turns death into life. God turns darkness into light. God can do anything. God can do anything. Amen. It's okay. We must release it to Him and allow Him to do that thing. He's not going to force it out of your hands. He's not going to force it out of your arms and say, give that to me. He wants you to release that thing today. Release, just open your arms and release it to Him. And watch what He will do. He will turn what you would never dream of out of what you've been hoarding and so ashamed of. Your brokenness, your sorrow, your resentment, your anger. He'll turn it around. Release it, our past, our present. And some of you are worried about your future. Release your future to God. Release your future. The Bible says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink tomorrow. He goes on to say, seek me and I'll add all these things to you. He wants you to have all of them, but we've got to release it to Him. We've got to release our concerns, our anxieties, our struggles. See, Paul struggled with the same thing. You say, well, Paul, once he came to the Lord, he had no more problems. He struggled with the same things that I'm talking about today. Even experiencing the greatness of God, he struggled with the thoughts and the memories of his past, as we sometimes do. And this is what Paul said in Romans 8:28, that you could probably recite from memory. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who loves God today? You sure do. Who has been called according to His purpose? Yes, you have. All right. So we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. That's you. That's me. As we proclaim the name of God, God has greater plans for you. Today is not the end of the road. There are greater plans in store for you. And we can release those things to God, and we can watch God do them. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have the answers. We don't have to have the plan. We don't have to have a preview. We have to know that He's going to work these things together for good. As I was praying and studying this scripture, this passage came to me, and I want you to listen to these words. Y'all may put it on the screen in Isaiah 66. These 11 verses, I want to read it over you. This is what happens when we release to God. This is in the Old Testament. But it's called, this passage is actually called Good News of Salvation. But what God wants to bring into our life is a form of salvation, in that even if we are saved and we're of God, we're being hindered by some things that we need to let go of. And as we let go of these things, it is the good news of salvation, but it's a releasing to God that brings this about. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. I want to read it over you. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." Now, stop there. When you say preach good tidings, you say, okay, that exempts me. No, your life is preaching a sermon. So don't think that you've got to stand here on Sunday morning to preach a sermon. Your life is a sermon. Your life is preaching a sermon. Your life is a light to someone. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Does this not line up with what I was just telling you? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of your foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That is a word for you today from the Lord. That's the way the Lord sees you today. God promises to turn everything around and for it to be everything that you thought was never possible. things that you have been praying for, that you've been hoping for, that you even vision in your mind, is less than God's plan for you. Do you receive that today? I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that's what the Lord wants me to communicate with you today, is that we need to release it all to God. Take our hands off of it. Be faithful in what God has put before you, but let God do the work that He wants to do. You've got to release it. You've got to let it go. Crawford, come.